Birth, Volume 3, The Gathering, Chapter 32. I'm just telling you what the President told me, said Shelley. I understand, Shelley, but since Orphan was taken, I prefer to stay where I am and let come what may, said Orphan's father, Abdullah Bayezid. They're using these giant spacecraft from God knows where, and they tried this morning to attack Europe. The guys at Wars R Us put up some trash in space that acted like a sort of low-tech barrier, and reports are that their attack was blown away. But they're headed this way, Abdullah. We don't know where they will attack next, but it makes sense to me that they might try to destroy the L.A. basin. I just want you to get out of there, pleaded Shelley. I get that, my dear. But if I leave the helm of the Times, you will no longer be getting any information. We're saving this world here. I am not afraid to die, said Abdullah finally. Take a look around. We have done that already. Look, I want you to know that I loved your son, said Shelley, with more to say. What's not to love? He was handsome and strong and could make a man laugh once in a while, said Abdullah. Abdullah, I mean I loved him. I was in love with him, said Shelley, cracking her voice a little bit. Did he know this? I mean you told him this? Asked Abdullah. Well, no. I mean, I'm not really good at it. What I mean is that I was going slow. I thought I had time. He was so young, said Shelley, feeling her cheeks turn red. He's a smart boy, you know. I think if you crossed the river, you would find him there already waiting for you, said Abdullah, softly puffing on his cigar. He looked out of his top-floor window over the perfectly clear air to where the basin began to descend to nearly sea level in Santa Monica. It was me, wasn't it? I was the slow one, said Shelley, sniffling. I wouldn't worry so much. These are the treasures that transcend space and time. It is far more valuable than the blue BMW ground up on the freeway, don't you think? Asked Abdullah, smiling on the phone. That wasn't my fault, just so you know, said Shelley, suddenly smiling through her tears. What do you want me to do, Miss Shelley? Walk to Side R? My Raptor is useless with all the gasoline stations closed, said Abdullah. You don't have to make it to Side R in one big step. Don't you have access to a diesel-powered something? Asked Shelley. Well, yeah. I have an old Dodge Ram that has a diesel engine in it. I used it to haul the paper's parade float a few years back. Why? Asked Abdullah. Salad oil. It will run on any kind of salad oil or even used transmission fluid. I was talking to Kyle about making a run for something and we ran into the same issues, said Shelley. You're kidding. As luck would have it, my secretary has a husband who owns a transmission shop a few blocks from here. If it will make you feel any better, I will make a few calls and see what is up, said Abdullah, blowing smoke through a ring of smoke he had puffed in front of him. He watched as the smoke hit the large plate window a few feet away. Shelley, are you still there? Yes, I'm still here. I probably don't have any rights to say this, but I think Orphan would want you to live. I don't think you have another day before these assholes strike again, said Shelley. I'm not going to dismiss this out of hand, my dear. One of the things that got me here was being able to tell when the universe was changing course. This actually feels like one of those times. If you hear from me again, then you'll know I decided to run away to fight another day. If not, well, I suppose I will be speaking to my son soon, said Abdullah, almost whispering at the last. I have to go for now. I have another broadcast in an hour, and I'm still in my civvies. I'll see you soon, said Shelley. God be willing, my girl. God be willing, said Abdullah. No offense, but don't give me that Allah backdoor escape clause bullshit. Get your ass out of there, Abdullah. We have work to do, said Shelley. Goodbye, Shelley, for now, said Abdullah, gently pressing the red button on his screen. He took a healthy draw off his cigar as he placed his phone in his pocket and crossed his arms. He blew out the smoke and reached into his pocket again, thumbing the top number. Do you think your husband could meet me at his shop? He said into the softly backlit screen. Hey, Mike, do you think this looks all right? Asked Bet. That's the dress, isn't it? Asked Smith. You mean the first dress since I started at Caltech? Yeah, this is it. It also happens to be the only dress I managed to bring with me to this place. It's not like I have a whole lot of warning, you know, said Bet. That dress took me by surprise. Besides, you're talking to someone who wore desert fatigues for 8 years and then the same colored suit for 8 more. What do I know about clothes? Asked Smith. I don't even know why I'm asking you, said Bet with half smile on her voice. I like you in anything, or nothing, and anywhere in between, said Smith. There is no hope for you as a fashion consultant, said Bet. Huh, spoken by the woman who missed her calling as a fold-out in West Coast Cruiser magazine, said Smith, trying to button his shirt with one hand. Here, you can defend the world from the ultimate bad guy, but you can't button a shirt, she said as she put her fingers against his stomach. I spoke to the colonel yesterday. He said I'm healed enough for the pin implant for the collarbone. Actually, he's making a new one from stainless steel. As soon as this is over, I'm having it done, said Smith. Ooh, I don't know if I can handle 2 arms, said Bet. I'm benching 1,000 pounds with a steel collarbone. I may have both of them done, said Smith. Does he do breasts? Asked Bet. Oh, come on, don't mess with the killer bees, said Smith. It's reconstructive surgery, Smith, not transhumanism, said Bet. See if I ever try another joke, said Smith, walking over to his chukka boots he had fitted with zippers so he could still pull them on by himself. No, that was good. Please, don't give up trying. If you don't use it, you lose it. If you ever had it, said Bet, gently wrapping her arms around him from behind. Man, talk about killer bees. Ma'am, are you groping me? Asked Smith, trying to sound professional. Yes, sir, I am, said Bet. Well, then, carry on, said Smith, turning around and kissing her on the lips. You want to start with dessert again? Asked Bet. I have a much more aerobic activity in mind for later, said Smith. Well, in that case, let's not be late for the wedding, said Bet. I have to be there early. The president is going to be on stage, said Smith. No problem. I will hang with Loretta and Lorraine until you're freed up, said Bet. Let's go. I have to meet up with Jones in the lobby at 1900, said Smith. It seems weird going to a wedding in jeans, said Donna as she thumbed the buttons on her fly. I'll bet Dick wished he was wearing jeans, said Kyle, fluffing his damp curly hair to look even around his head. I'm getting used to you without your glasses. How did that happen again? She asked. I really didn't pay any attention to it. It was kind of sudden. I got up one morning and instead of a blurry room, I saw distinct shapes with sharp edges. Within a few days, I was taking my glasses off to see the wiring terminals better. I haven't worn my specs in about a month, he said. You started talking in your sleep, you know, she said. Really? Like, what do I say? He asked. Haven't a clue. I took Spanish and some German in school, and it isn't anything I have ever heard, she said. Not even a word? 'Cause I've been building shit like crazy in my sleep the last few weeks, "Stuff I never saw before," he said, as though he had peeked into a birthday present from a rich uncle. "Nope. I mean, I can remember some words, but I don't know what they mean," she said. "Let's run them by Lorraine. She has something going on there. I don't know," he said, winding his finger in the air by his head. "Kyle Kramer, that woman is special. She has abilities that are off the charts. She has to be some kind of healer or a soul toucher or something," she said. "A soul toucher. Yeah, that sounds right. If I let go, she can, like, disconnect me from here. I mean, it's like pulling the shades up on a window that's, like, right there," he said, holding his hands in front of him, like a photographer trying to frame a subject with his thumbs. "You think she walks around like that?" she asked. "That would be a little like walking around barefoot in a room full of bare hot wires laying everywhere," he said. "Like handing the remote to a toddler when you're trying to watch a good movie," she said. "That's even better. I was going the whole shock collar direction, and you totally set it right. Come here," he said, holding his arms out for her. She got up off the bed and gently put her arms around him, kissing him warmly. "You are very wicked brilliant, my Kyle," she said, looking into his blue eyes. "Yeah. Well, we're going to be wicked late if we don't hurry," he said, accessing that little internal clock in his head. "Why? We have like 2 hours," she said. "I'm supposed to meet a couple of techs in the radio room. We're going to send the wedding out live," he said, smiling excitedly. "To who?" she asked. "To everyone. We're also sending a little care package to the old planet," he said, wiggling his feet into his sneakers. "That's cool. How are you going to do that?" she asked. "I think Admiral Donetti is firing up the harp arrays in a few locations and using our own atmosphere as a giant antenna," he said, grabbing his notebook. "I thought that thing was dangerous," she asked, with a hesitant concern in her voice and in her step. "In the right hands, it can be very dangerous. That's the whole idea," he said. "What's it going to do?" she asked. "Let's talk while we walk. Have you ever seen what happens when you walk too close to the speakers with the microphone?" he asked. "You mean that screeching sound?" she asked. "It's called feedback. Usually, it just makes people uncomfortable. But that's if the amp has limited power. If the amplifier has unlimited power, the signal pressure is logarithmically intense," he said, like the professor inside his head. "Are we talking like Led Zeppelin intense?" she asked. "That isn't even close," he said as the elevator door closed behind their apartment. "Harp, Gakona facility, Lieutenant Roland," came the crisp answer. "This is Admiral Donetti. Who's still on station?" asked Donetti. "Sir, there are three of us left on duty. The rest are no longer with us, sir," said Roland. "Are you operational, Lieutenant?" asked Donetti. "The lights are on. Barely. The solar panels are still keeping us warm, but the transformers and the array may still not work, sir," said the lieutenant. "Are you an electrical engineer, Lieutenant?" asked Donetti. "Nuclear physics, sir. I've been here for 3 years," said Roland. "I have orders for you, Lieutenant. I need the harp energized and ready for a signal broadcast at 1500 hours GMT. Can you do that?" asked Donetti. "I have two techs here, and that's it, sir," said Roland. "You didn't answer my question, Lieutenant. Can you energize?" he asked again. "I believe so, sir. The transformers have been hard to control since the separation, sir. My team just didn't show up one day. We had a crew of 72, and now there are 3 of us," said Roland. "Good to see you're still with us, son. Now, I need to send a broadcast with everything you have to the Midwest area of the old world. Can you do that for me?" asked Donetti. "We would have to couple with the Mojave harp unit, but it could be done, sir. But first I need to make you aware of some risks," said Roland. "Can you check while I'm on the line and make sure Mojave has the staff to support you?" asked Donetti. Sir, if we heat the ionosphere that fast with a focus beam for a targeted broadcast, there's a risk of a breakdown, sir, said Roland. Explain what you mean, Lieutenant, said Donetti. If we charge up the ionosphere, it takes time to balance and spread out the energy. It will be pushing it hard out into space, and the jet stream needs to fill in that void. We'll be rerouting the weather, said Roland. I'm not really worried about raining in the desert, Lieutenant, said Donetti. Sir, a focused beam of that power can create an ion path for a breakdown. It's never happened, because we're careful. But that doesn't mean it won't happen, said Roland with a nervous tone to his voice. I'm looking for something specific here, Lieutenant. Can you bounce our broadcast back to the Midwest area of the Old World or not? Asked Donetti. Yes, sir, we can. I'm saying it may be the last thing we ever do, but it can be done, said Roland. Talk to your people in Mojave while I wait. I need confirmation now, said Donetti. The line was quiet for a few minutes when Roland came back. They're doing much better than we are, sir. They have 7 people left, and they have a solar power bank that can keep them going for a few hours. We will work out the phased array calculations and light it up at 1400 hours GMT, said Roland. I will have my component ready for you at 1500. I will send it to you via the Watts line. It's live content. When you begin receiving, it's all ahead full. Am I clear, Lieutenant? Asked Donetti. Yes, sir. One more thing, sir, said Roland after a short pause. What's on your mind, son? Asked Donetti. Our families. If this breaks down, it will evaporate this entire facility and flatten the area for about 20 miles in every direction, said Roland with a quiver to his voice. I'm not the man on our team to explain this to you, but I need you to trust me, said Donetti with a calm to his voice. I trust you, sir. The fact that you are still here makes all the difference, sir, said Roland. Tell your people to trust you as well. It's important. The whole world is counting on us, said Donetti. Yes, sir. No pressure, sir, said Roland with a little more strength to his voice. That's the spirit. Steady as she goes, Lieutenant. Steady as she goes. Until then, Lieutenant, said Donetti. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir, said Roland as he hung up the phone.